copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
The purpose of this first session, just to get us started as Bible teachers and Bible teachers, is to remind ourselves of the power of God's Word. Our goal as Bible teachers is to faithfully preach and faithfully convey and faithfully teach God's Word to God's people. And so we thought it would be helpful just to remind ourselves of the importance, the priority, and the power of God's Word. And so we just want to reinforce our confidence in the Bible. And we want to remind ourselves that our goal as preachers is to place the microphone in front of the Bible. We want our people to hear God's Word. We want our people to be transformed and to be changed by God's Word. And I'm sure you will agree with me that a high view of Scripture is necessary in order for us to have a high view of preaching. The two things are connected together. It's only really when we have a high view of Scripture that we see the importance and of working hard to convey, to preach, to teach God's Word to God's people. So really the goal for this session is just for us to be reminded of a robust theology of the Bible. We want to remind ourselves of what we have in our hands and the reason why it's crucial for us to study hard, to work hard, to exegete hard, so that then to faithfully proclaim God's Word to God's people. And the foundation of our understanding of Scripture is that we are reminded that God has spoken. If we go back to the very beginning of Scripture, the first way in which God is introduced to us is as the great communicator. He is the God who speaks. He is a God who communicates. And this is the way he is introduced in Scripture. So we have a speaking God, a relational God, and that's why we then take up the task of speaking and of preaching, because we talk about and we proclaim a God who is the great communicator. But if we also consider the importance of the Word of God, we are reminded at the very beginning of Genesis that everything in creation was brought about by the Word of God. Not only does God communicate, but he created everything through his Word. Everything that exists was brought into being by his Word. And the implication of this is huge. The implication of this is that there is nothing in creation that is stronger than God's Word. There is nothing in this world, there is nothing that has been brought into existence that is more powerful or able to resist the Word of God. And the other aspect that we learn from the very beginning of Scripture is that God's Word, they're more than just sounds. God's words are decrees, they're actions. If you were following the first session this morning or this afternoon with Peter Williams, you perhaps picked up that the Hebrew word davar can mean both words and also things. And the reason for that is because the power of God's word is such that it's not simply sounds, but it's more than that. God moves, he acts through his word. And so God says, let there be light. And the consequence was that there was light. God acts, he creates through his word. And the other crucial element to understand about the nature of God is that the fact that he is a God who speaks, who communicates, is the distinguishing factor between the one true God of Scripture and the other gods that we read about in other religions. And the biblical authors will often highlight that the God in heaven, he speaks. He can do anything that he pleases, while the other gods, the gods of the other nations, are the idols. Even though they have mouths, they cannot speak. Even though they have eyes, they do not see. And so really, when we consider the importance of Scripture, we want to anchor our understanding of Scripture in our understanding of the character of God. God, the God of the Bible, is a God who loves to speak, who loves to have a relationship with his creation. He is the God who spoke the creation into its being. And therefore, we understand that God is a God who loves to communicate. And related to this is our understanding that when God speaks, he does not just inform, he does not just create, but when God speaks, he is giving himself to us. He is enabling us to have fellowship with him, to commune with him. And so God's purpose in his communication is to enable us to hear, to respond to God's word, and therefore to enter into a relationship with him. And so when God speaks, he is disclosing himself to us. God's revelation in Scripture is not just information that God is giving us, but God's revelation in Scripture is himself sharing himself with us, enabling us to see him as he is, and opening up his heart and sharing his heart with us. By his speech, God relates to his people. And so as we come to think about our task as preachers, our task is to communicate on behalf of the God who is the great communicator. Our task is to communicate in such a way that we are revealing the God who has revealed himself in Scripture. Now, when we focus then specifically on God's word, it's important for us to be reminded once again of the absolute power of God's word. We have already mentioned that God created through his word. We've already mentioned that God's words, they're not just sounds, they're actions, they're decrees. God brings about his purposes through his word. And for us to be committed to being faithful preachers, it's essential for us to have a clear understanding, a high view of Scripture. And the importance and the power of God's word is communicated to us in Scripture itself by the many descriptions that are given for the word of God. Can you think, what are the clear and the famous images that we have in the Bible that are used to describe God's word? Can you think of any?
Two-edged sword, sledgehammer,
yeah.
Fire, burning fire, right?
Yeah. So we have the two-edged sword in Hebrews 4, the word of God as a hammer, as a fire, okay? What else?
Light unto my path.
Yeah, Psalm 119, yeah. Anything else?
It's sweeter than honey. So it's sweet.
Yeah. So we have these various similes, metaphors, images that are used in Scripture to describe God's word. It is a lamp that overcomes darkness. It is, my screen has frozen. It is rain that accomplishes its purpose. It is a fire that refines, Jeremiah 23. It's a hammer that breaks through hard surfaces. It's bread and milk, which nourishes God's people. It's a sword which defends, attacks, and pierces. It's a mirror that reveals who we are. It's a seed that brings life and fruitfulness. And I know that we are very familiar with these images, but it's worth pausing and just reminding ourselves of the power associated with each of these images. We're thinking about in this session about the pastor's Bible. And the idea behind the title is to realize that God's word is his ultimate instrument for change in God's people. And so if we think about the needs of the people around us, then we see how the word of God accomplishes in God's people what we want to see. This morning after church, I had three different people come up to me with three different situations, pastoral needs of God's people. And just on my way home, as I was thinking through some of these issues and thinking about this session this afternoon, I was again reminded about the solution for these problems. The ultimate solution can be found in God's word. We have dark, dark situations in our lives, and the word of God is the lamp that brings about light and overcomes darkness. We long to see our people grow and become mature in Christ. It's through God's word, which is milk and bread, that God nourishes his people. We often long for our people to have a more sober understanding of themselves. And they get that by reading God's scripture that reveals to them what they are. We long for hard hearts to be penetrated by the ultimate truth. And that is achieved by the proclamation of the word of God. So if we consider together each of these images, we see that God's word has the ability to bring about in our people the transformation that we want to see. And yet we're so often tempted to look for solutions elsewhere. We're so often tempted to add to scripture and to find solutions elsewhere. And yet the power to transform eternally lives is found in the word of God. And it's our privilege and our task as preachers and teachers to simply convey faithfully God's word to God's people. Another way to consider the power of God's word is to consider the attributes of scripture. Now, in the area of systematic theology, we often talk about four attributes of scripture. That's four ways in which scripture describes itself in the Bible. We talk about the sufficiency of scripture, the clarity of scripture, the authority of scripture, and the necessity of scripture. Let me just remind you of each one of these attributes. And again, this will encourage us in our task, in the hard task of preaching. When we say that scripture is sufficient, we are stating that scripture contains everything we need for the knowledge of salvation and godly living. In scripture, we have everything we need for salvation and for godly living. We don't need any further revelation. We don't need any further information to obtain salvation and to live a godly life. We have everything we need in Scripture. Scripture is fully sufficient. And then we have the clarity of Scripture. And by that we mean that the saving message of Jesus Christ is plainly taught in the Scriptures and can be understood by all who have ears to hear it. And so our task as preachers is to convey and to help people to explore and to grasp the message of Scripture. And then we have the authority of Scripture. And really what we mean by that is that the last word always goes to the Word of God. We must never allow the teachings of science, of our own experience, or even of church councils to take precedence over Scripture. Scripture is the last and final word. It has the ultimate authority. It is the decisive word. And then we have the necessity of Scripture. And when we consider this attribute, we're saying that general revelation, God's revelation in creation, is not enough to save us. We need God's word to tell us how to live, who Christ is, and how to be saved. And so if we bring these four attributes together, we can declare that God's word is enough, God's word is clear, God's word is final, and God's word is essential. Everything that our people need to be saved and to live a godly life is found in Scripture. And therefore, it is our task and privilege to convey and communicate Scripture to our people. And the beauty of Scripture is that in God's word, we find not just what God spoke in the past, but what God continues to say today. God speaks today through what he has spoken. And it's important to notice in the New Testament how we have some interchangeable expressions. For example, the New Testament authors have no difficulty passing from the perfect tense, it is written, to the present continuous, Scripture says. And really what that highlights is that what God has revealed in Scripture, and that's perfect, it's final, it's complete, that continues to speak today. God speaks today through what he has spoken. God's word is not just perfect and objective. God's word is also alive and dynamic and speaks into your situations today. And the second important interchangeable expression that we find in the New Testament is that the authors of Scripture have no difficulty switching from saying Scripture says to God says. And the reason why this is important is because they are attesting to us that the Scripture that they have in their hands is the living voice of God. The Bible that we study is the living word of God. It is alive and it speaks to us today. It's not just what God said in the past, but it's God's revelation for today. And so John Stott captures this dynamic of Scripture when he says that Scripture is far more than a collection of ancient documents in which the words of God are preserved. It is not a kind of museum in which God's word is exhibited behind a glass like a relic or a fossil. On the contrary, it is the living word to living people from the living God, a contemporary message for the contemporary world. It is the living word to living people from the living God. And the reason for this is because when God spoke, when God inspired his word, he had two audiences in mind. The prophets and the apostles addressed particular people living in a particular context. And yet, through their words, it was God's intention that those words would become his universal revelation for all the people in all ages and all places. And so when we consider the inspiration of Scripture, we declare that God had two audiences in mind: the generation that the prophets and the apostles were speaking to, and all the future generations. So we need to treat the Word of God not just as an ancient document that we must study and come to terms with, but we need to treat Scripture as the living Word of God. Now, all this has implications for preaching. One of the most beautiful descriptions of the Word of God comes from Packer, J.I. Packer. And he described the Word of God as God preaching. He says, in a sense, when we consider the nature of Scripture, we can see that in Scripture, God is preaching. And specifically, we can understand Scripture as God the Father preaching God the Son in the power of God the Holy Ghost. I find that a fascinating description of Scripture. God the Father, who is preaching God the Son through the power of God the Holy Spirit. And so when we consider Scripture in its totality, we should see that Scripture is not static, but it's dynamic. It's not just what God said a long time ago, but it's what God continues to say today. Because the distinguishing factor of the God of the Bible is that he is the God who speaks. And the implication for us as preachers is that when we preach, we are following the very purpose of Scripture. When we preach, we are becoming the mouthpiece of the text, and we are allowing for God's word to reach this present generation of God's people. So, as John Stott put it, if God had not spoken, we would not dare to speak. But since God has spoken, we too must speak, communicating to others what he has communicated to us. So when we think of teaching and preaching God's word, there is a sense in which the very nature of Scripture beckons us to preach and teach, because the very nature of Scripture is God's living word for all people living in all places. Now, let's take this a step further, because not only does the nature of Scripture invite us to preach, but within Scripture itself, we have a clear call to preach the Word of God. There is a call to preach both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Let's read these words from 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul says to Timothy, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." You see this charge that Paul has given Timothy. Timothy, do your best, work hard to present yourself as one approved. Not approved by man, but approved by God. And the way in which you become approved is because you rightly handle God's word. And so scripture itself is calling us to preach. It's asking and it's seeking in every generation for people to step forward with the incredible privilege and the incredible responsibility of preaching God's word. Let me just trace it quickly through scripture. We see from the very beginning of Genesis that key people of God have a role of proclaiming God's word. Both Enoch and Abraham are described as prophets. Noah is referred to as a preacher of righteousness. And then prominent in the book of Genesis, we also have the words of Jacob. And one of the aspects which comes across forcefully in the narrative of Jacob is the power of words. His words given or at the end of the book of Genesis have a prominent position in this word. And then we have the story of Moses, who is a reluctant preacher. Now, Moses, of course, in the narrative of the Old Testament, he's much more than simply a preacher. He's the lawgiver. He is the mediator between God's people and God. But Moses is certainly a preacher. Indeed, the book of Deuteronomy can be seen as Moses's last three sermons, where he proclaims the law of God to God's people. And then we have the prophets, who are fully fledged preachers. And then we have priests, who have the responsibility to preach and teach the law of God to God's people. And then we have what we can describe as domestic ministry, where within the context of a family, the responsibility was to teach the word of God to the next generation. And the same call to preach we find also in the New Testament. The first preacher to take the pulpit is John the Baptist, a fiery preacher, similar to the prophets of the Old Testament. He preached about the kingdom of God. He preached about judgment. He preached about repentance. He preached about forgiveness. And then we have the ultimate preacher, Jesus himself. And it's interesting to note that on several occasions, Jesus describes the purpose of his incarnation as coming to preach the good news of the kingdom. So preaching was not a peripheral aspect of his ministry. Preaching was a central aspect of the ministry of Jesus. He preached and he taught in synagogues. He preached and he taught on the mountainside by the lake. Jesus proclaimed, he preached the word of God. And then, of course, the apostles were sent to preach. And we can track in the book of Acts the importance that their preaching ministry had. Just think about Acts 6 and the importance for the apostles not to get distracted by other ministries, but to give priority to teaching God's word and to prayer. And then in the epistles, we have a solemn charge to preach, where we see that church leaders have the task of teaching God's word. And then we see the responsibility of equipping other people so that they will be able to teach the word of God. And so throughout scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, we have this call to preach the word of God. And the reason why this is so important is because of the effects of preaching. And let me just highlight the two primary effects of preaching that we see in God's word. The first is that through preaching, God calls forth the church. And the second is that through preaching, God grows the church. Let's look at the first one, and then we'll consider the second. Through preaching, God calls forth the church. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 17 is a well-known passage for many of us. And it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For as Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Now consider the logic of this passage. This passage, first of all, assumes that one must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And then it highlights that people can only call on the name of Christ if they have believed in him. And then it goes a step further, and it says that people cannot believe in Christ unless they have heard of him. And then they cannot hear of Christ unless there is someone to tell them about Christ, a preacher. So the conclusion is that saving faith comes by hearing, and that this hearing of the gospel message comes about through the preaching of Christ. And so the implication seems to be that without hearing the preaching of the gospel of Christ, no one can be saved. And so through preaching, God calls forth his church. And we see this unfold in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, we see clearly that the early church is formed by the preaching of God's word. Peter preached, and 3,000 people were added to the church in Jerusalem. Those who were scattered preached, and the church in Samaria was formed. The scattered told the message of the gospel, and the church in Syria was formed. The city gathered to hear the word of God, and the church in Asia Minor was formed. Paul reasoned and explained the scripture, and the church in Macedonia was formed. Paul proclaimed the unknown God, and the church in Greece was formed. So we see throughout the book of Acts that as the word of God is preached, the church is formed. God calls forth his church by the preaching of the word of God. The second effect of preaching is that God grows the church through his word and through the preaching of his word. Consider the experience of the apostles. Paul says in Acts chapter 20, in his conversation with the elders from Ephesus, he says, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance along with those who are sanctified." Through the proclamation of the word of God, the church is built up and receives an inheritance and is sanctified. Or in Colossians 1, Paul says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So how do you become mature in Christ? How do we make people mature in Christ? We proclaim him. We proclaim Christ by warning everyone and by teaching everyone with all wisdom. And again, in Ephesians chapter 4, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So through these ministries, through these gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, and notice that all of them have a verbal ministry, the proclamation of God's word. Through these gifts, God equips the saints for the work of ministry, and this results in building up the body of Christ. So as we look to Scripture, we can say that the nature of Scripture beckons us to preach. But we can also say that within Scripture, there is an overt call to preach. Because through the preaching of God's word, God creates the church. And through the preaching of God's word, God sustains the church. Let me just finish with, again, John Stott's words on the importance of God's word for the church. John Stott says, God's new creation, the church, is as dependent upon his word as his old creation, the universe. Not only has he brought it into being by his word, but he maintains and sustains it, directs it and sanctifies it, reforms and renews it through the same word. Why do we preach? Why do we teach? Because through his word, God sustains his new creation. He sustains the church.